All right, welcome to In Plain Sight. Jeremy here in Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and set up a recurring payment to fund the station. We need fundage for the stationage to keep this platform alive. This is your Wednesday night broadcast, Spiritual Health and Wellness, where I focus on biblical studies for all of you Christians out there. And all of you unbelievers can tune in too and maybe learn a thing or two. We're going to start off with a sermon clip from our wonderful local Kentucky pastor, Pastor B, on hell. Then we're going to get into a little discussion of resurrection and probably bottom of the hour get into Revelation 4. So let's roll that sermon clip, if you would, Mike. It's about 12 minutes.
Turn in your Bible for just a few moments to Romans chapter number 8. Book of Romans chapter number 8. Now I'm going to do something that's a little bit strange for an Easter / Resurrection Day exhortation. So I want you to bear with me for a few minutes. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the doctrine of eternal hell. Yes, on Resurrection Day. But I have a point, so I want you to follow me and just listen to me. It is appointed to man once to die. Everybody in here has got to die. After we die, the Bible says, is judgment. There will be one of two places that everybody in here will go upon death. The righteous into eternal life, the wicked into eternal punishment. That's it. Matthew 25:46. I want to give you 6 points concerning hell. I want you to listen to me. Number one, a defense of hell. There is a real place called hell, and real people will go there after they experience a real death for a real eternity. It exists. Jesus spoke, "Do not fear the one who can kill the body, but rather fear him, God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. In fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than everybody in the Bible put together. Revelation 21, "As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." A lake of fire. Number two, the demand of hell. Hell is demanded. Listen, you're made in God's image. Every single person is. And the God you've sinned against and that I've sinned against is not some small town mayor. He is the God who is holy, 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 infinite in His majesty. He's the creator of the entire universe. This is who we've sinned against. Now think about sin versus the level of authority that you've sinned against. If I tell a lie, which is a sin, to my 11-year-old boy, there's nothing he can do to me about that. Nothing he can do. Now, if I lie to my wife, I want to be sleeping out in the garage for the night, right? If I lie to my boss at work, who is the sheriff, I could be fired. If we lie to the government, we'd be imprisoned. If we lie to another country, we could go to war. Think about how the sin never changed, but the level of authority that was offended changed. Now think about God, eternal, infinite, holy, 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 righteous God. An infinite God, a sin against Him, carries an infinite punishment. It has to. The demand of hell. The Bible speaks of the righteous judgment of God. God considers it just to repay. He will inflict vengeance on those who don't know God, who don't know the gospel. God will inflict vengeance. God is inflicting vengeance in hell. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might. Vengeance is mine, God says in Deuteronomy. The time will come when their foot will slip, and the day of their calamity is at hand. Number three, the design of hell. Hell was not created for us. Matthew 25:41, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was made for the devil and his demons. That's why hell was created. And they're not redeemable. But sinners who hate God, who have sinned against God, enter into the same place as Satan and demons. Satan rebelled against God, and when you sin, you are brought into that same rebellion and therefore the same punishment. You will be experiencing the punishment meant for demons on you as a sinner. Fourth, a description of hell. You will be resurrected and given an eternal body that is suited for your experience. You'll experience separation and isolation. Matthew 25:30 speaks of outer darkness. You'll never get out. You'll never be saved from there. Once you get there, there's no change. Hopelessness experienced forever. You will never be with those you love and cherish ever again. You will be conscious. You'll be awake. You'll be alert. The rich man in torment lifted up his eyes. Speaks of physical properties. It will be the absence of God in His mercy. There will be no hope. When the wicked dies, his hope perishes, the Bible says. There's no mercy, there's no relief. Great emotional, mental, physical agony and torment forever. The absence of God and His mercy. But not only the absence of God and His mercy, but the presence of God and His wrath. Fire, brimstone, weeping, wailing. You'll be released to be the person that you really are without God's restraint on you. You will be given over completely. Your heart, my heart, we're more wicked than we think we are. And in hell, we will be released to be the monster that we are for all eternity, and then we'll be punished for that. This is what the Bible reveals.
That's right.
There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a fully informed conscience in hell where the worm does not die, a gnawing conscience for all eternity. You will know who you are, what you've done, what you deserve, with all your memories of your previous life fully disclosed. Anxiety, depression, guilt, mental spasms accelerated. You can't relive life. You can't go back in time. You can't do any of that. You retain your memory of all of your missed opportunity. Maybe even right now. Some of you will be remembering this moment in hell. And there's no change for that. It's eternal. Five, there are degrees of hell. Hell's not the same for everybody. All sin separates you from God, but some sins carry differing punishments. Hebrews 10:29 speaks of a worse punishment by people who trample the blood of Christ. A worse punishment. Jesus said this, "It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than the cities that rejected Him." Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed with fire from heaven. And it will be more tolerable in their judgment than yours if you reject the gospel. Now six, final point. Are you with me? Is everybody with me? I want you to look at one verse. Look in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You're telling me that everything I just described, and I left a lot of stuff out, there's no condemnation, none. None of that you will experience if you're in Christ Jesus. What did He do? What did He suffer on that cross? Sinners will go through an eternity and never be able to repay. And He suffered something on that cross for those who will believe, for those who are in Christ, united with Christ. There's no condemnation for those in Christ because their condemnation fell on Christ.
That's right.
He was cursed and damned by God so that we can be forgiven. Think of the death of hell for those who are alive in Christ.
Amen.
Death has experienced a death itself. Death gets them all. Death wrestles the strongest men and always wins. But there's one that death tangled with and it could not prevail over.
That's right.
There is one that took death down and destroyed it and defeated death. Death has died. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Taunting death. Where is your victory, oh hell? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ, it's Jesus. Amen. The sweetest name I know.
Yes.
There's no condemnation if you're in Christ. None. No, no condemnation. How do we know this? How do we know? I'm glad you asked. Acts 17:31. God has given assurance to everybody by raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrection. It gives us the assurance. He's given us proof.
Amen.
By the resurrection. He was raised, Romans 4:25, for our justification. It's proof that God was satisfied with Him. And He said, because I live, you will live. Amen. For those who are in Christ. I'm not asking if you've prayed a prayer, if you agree, if you like Jesus, if you've agreed with the Bible. I'm saying, are you in Christ?
Yes.
Are you in Christ one? So that you don't know where you end and He begins. You're so communion-oriented with Christ. The resurrection is proof that we who are in Christ will never experience hell. But the resurrection is also proof that those who are not in Christ will experience hell. He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed, and He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. Are you in Christ? Lord, thank You for the day You've given us. Lord, the resurrection shows us that hell has been defeated for those of us who are believers, for those of us who have been regenerated, for those of us who have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thought I was a Christian for so long, and Jesus interrupted my life with the truth of the gospel, and I've never been the same since. I pray, Lord, that everyone here that hears my voice would see that the opening for eternity, for eternal experience of heaven and joy forever is open through Christ. But for those who are not in Christ, there is a hell waiting with degrees of punishment that we can't even fathom or imagine. What did You do on that cross, Jesus? What did You do that You suffered under the wrath of God and You rose again on this day so many years ago? Thank You for the proof that You've given to us. It's true. The resurrection proves that it's true.
Amen.
We trust You, Lord. I pray that all here today would have a saving interest in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
So that's a sermon clip on hell. And I want to give you a little bit of a debriefing from Resurrection Weekend. What is often called Easter, which is a pagan name of a German ritual of fertility. First of all, there's a false teaching out there that Jesus suffered in hell. And unfortunately, this is taken from a surface reading of the King James, which I adhere to. The King James is a superior translation. But if you don't dig deep into the original language, you can be confused on some things. And I think this is where a lot of hardcore Baptists are at. So they get this teaching that after Jesus died, His soul went to hell to be tormented, and that was part of the payment for sin. And they get this from Psalm 16, right? Psalm 16 is the David, who would be King David, second king of Israel, and he's prophesying of the Messiah in Psalm 16. And you get down to verse 10 of Psalm 16, "For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption." So that word hell is the Hebrew word Sheol, which means the place of the dead. So to us, hell means the place of torment, and that's the context of the speaker we're speaking of. But to the for the Old Testament, and up until the crucifixion of Christ, this word Sheol was the place of the dead. And what the prophet David is talking about here is that the Lord would not leave the soul of Jesus in the place of the dead, and that he would not suffer the Holy One, Jesus, to see corruption. Now, corruption literally means the decomposition of the body, which takes place after 36 hours, all right? And this gets us into another misunderstanding of the words of Christ, that the misunderstanding that Jesus spent a literal 72 hours in the grave, that his body was 72 hours in the grave. That would mean that the crucifixion would have to take place on a Wednesday night, and he would spend Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the grave. Now, that is also a misunderstanding. Let me deal with that one first. According to the scriptures and the four gospel accounts, the Lord was crucified and gave up the ghost on what we would call Friday in the afternoon. And his body went into the grave, and that was the first day, because the Jews in Israel reckoned time, reckoned days to go from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That was how they reckoned it. We reckon it from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. But that's a modern thing. So, in other words, the Lord spent Friday evening in the grave. That's day one. And they reckoned that as a full day. And then he spent the entire day of the Sabbath in the grave, which would be Friday night at 6 p.m. until Saturday night at 6 p.m. And then he was resurrected on the first day of the week. That would be what we would call Sunday. And that was early in the morning, just before dawn, according to the scriptures. So in Jewish reckoning, that would indicate 3 days. And that's what the Lord was talking about when he said to the Pharisees, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh the sign, but the only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonas. For as Jonas spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And he's reckoning these days. That's a euphemism of 3 days and three nights. He's reckoning a partial day on Friday as one day, and a partial day on the first day of the week as one day. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he was resurrected on Sunday morning, first day of the week. And this will make sense scientifically, as when the human body dies, it does experience rigor mortis within hours, but it does not experience corruption until after 36 hours. So if you add it up, he was in the grave for less than 36 hours, thus fulfilling Psalm 16, chapter 10, "You will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption." So let's deal now, and we're coming up on the break. And so on the other side of the break, we're going to deal with this false teaching that Jesus suffered in hell. This is incorrect. This is not biblical. I will prove that with scripture when we come back. And then after bottom of the hour, we'll get into Revelation 4. Back on the other side.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Back to spiritual health and wellness on Implant Site, and I'm kind of nerding out. I hope you guys can follow me, because I've covered this before. I did a whole show on how long Christ was in the grave, but it's very provable from scripture that it was indeed what we would call Friday evening through Sunday morning. And so it wasn't a literal 72 hours, because we reckon time differently than the ancients did in Israel. All right. And when the Lord said 3 days and three nights, that was basically a euphemism. It's kind of like, hyperbole. And he did that a lot. You know, he told his followers that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they freaked out. And then he's like, no, look, this is spiritual. I'm talking spiritually. Right. And then, of course, that gets into the whole doctrine of transubstantiation, and people take off with that, which I don't want to get into. But the point is that according to the scriptures, it was that time frame. But I want to deal with this next false teaching that Jesus had to suffer in hell to pay for our sins. And they get all of that from this one verse. They get it from several chapters, but the beginning of it is this one verse in Psalm 16:10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." David prophesying of the Messiah. All right. Again, this is Sheol. Now, how do we know that this word has to be interpreted based on the context? And that's with a lot of words in the Bible. The Bible is a complicated book, I'm not going to lie. And there is much study if you want to get the real meaning. But if you study, you'll find it. Psalm 139, David is not talking about the Messiah, but he's talking about himself. And he's basically talking about how wherever he's at, the Lord is with him, because David was a righteous man. He believed, he was justified by grace through faith. Romans 4 points that out. It was not by his works. None of us are justified by our works. But the point is that David knew he was going to heaven. right? So there's no way that he would say that he's going to hell. But yet what he says in Psalm 139, he's talking about whether, even if he makes his bed in hell, Psalm 139, verse 8, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, David's not talking about, here he is in the context, he's talking about himself. And make his bed in hell, that word hell is Sheol, again, the place of the dead. David is saying that even in his death, the Lord is with him. Behold, thou art there. So this is, using scripture to interpret scripture, that word Sheol must be taken in context, right? Some other passages where the Lord descends into the heart of the earth, all right? Ephesians 4 is another one. So Ephesians 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, talking about Jesus, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men, verse 9 of Ephesians 4. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So this is Paul writing in Ephesians that the Lord Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. This correlates with Jesus telling the Pharisees that he would spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. All right. And one more passage. What did he do in the heart of the earth? What did he do there when he descended? Did he suffer in torment? No. 1 Peter 3 tells us what he did there. All right. And I'm scrolling down here. I just pulled all this stuff up. Basically, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath suffered for sins, hath once suffered for sins. Christ once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So this is talking about Jesus going to the heart of the earth and preaching to spirits in prison, the spirits that were in existence during the days of Noah. The purpose of Jesus going to the heart of the earth was, first of all, to preach, to lead captivity captive, Ephesians 4. So he brought out the justified out of the place of the dead. And secondly, to preach unto the unjust spirits that were existing before the flood. Those were the two purposes of Jesus going to the heart of the earth, to bring out the righteous and to preach to the wicked. Back on the other side with Revelation 4.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
People often write to tell us,
What has happened for them since starting Extendivite? Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Okay, we're coming back to Spiritual Health and Wellness on your Wednesday night broadcast, Republic Broadcasting Network. I want to thank all of you that have contributed. You keep this platform going. And this Wednesday night, Spiritual Health and Wellness is what I live for. It's why I keep doing the show. And I absolutely love working with Patrick Slattery and William Repellum, my recurring guests. And I love doing the Monday night rundown of the news. It's all good. It lets me get this out of my system. But Wednesday night is the crux. It's the crescendo for all of you that are musically inclined. It is the crescendo of the week when I get to bear my soul and my biblical beliefs to you. And I hope that I do that objectively, according to what the Bible teaches and not according to what man teaches. We will open up the phones if you want to call in, 512-248-8252. I want to get into the study of Revelation 4 as we're doing that now on Wednesday nights. But I want to just summarize what I went over so far this Wednesday after Resurrection Weekend on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the gospel. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God to save, right? 1 Corinthians 15 states that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There is no suffering in hell mentioned there. So just to recap, Jesus Christ died on the cross on a Friday night, Friday afternoon. He was in the grave Friday evening until the 6 p.m. or right around sundown, whatever the time that was. That was day one. Day two was the Sabbath, 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. And day three was the first day of the week until dawn. And he resurrected just before dawn, according to the scriptures. And so that's the 3 days that the Lord talked about being in the heart of the earth. Why did he go to the heart of the earth? To preach to the spirits, the wicked spirits that were in existence before the flood, and to lead captivity captive, Ephesians 4. So the teaching here is that all of those righteous people before the crucifixion, the Old Testament saints who believed on the coming Messiah, went to the place of Sheol. That's what David is talking about in Psalm 139. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, or the place of the dead, thou art there. So these Old Testament saints went to a place of waiting. It's a waiting room, if you will, also called paradise. And if you remember the account of the rich man of Lazarus, Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man was in torment, and they could see each other. They could communicate. The rich man communicated with Abram, but there was a great gulf fixed between them. So they were in the same place, but in separate compartments, in other words. So this is indicating that before the resurrection of Christ, there were separate compartments in the center of the earth, one for the righteous, Sheol, and one for the unrighteous, the place of torment. Nowhere in these scriptures does it say that Jesus Christ went into torment. As a matter of fact, when he was on the cross, he experienced the full wrath of God. It wasn't the physical pain and the beating and the nailing to the cross that he dreaded when he prayed in the garden to let this cup pass. It was the separation from his Father, because Romans tells us, the book of Romans says that he became sin. He who was without sin became sin. He took on the full sin of the earth, of the world, of everyone. And in that period, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the earth turned black. The earth turned dark. That was the punishment. He didn't need to go to hell to be punished. That was the punishment. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, not the death, burial, and punishment in hell, and then the resurrection. It's simply the death, burial, and resurrection. So to understand the gospel, you have to understand that he paid fully for our sins on the cross, and that his blood paid for our sins. His blood paid, not his torment in hell that some people are falsely teaching. And I wanted to get that out there. What did he say to the thief on the cross? There were two thieves on either side of him, one on each side. One reviled him. The other was reviling him until at some point the one thief believed on him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus was dying on the cross. This thief recognized that Jesus would not stay dead. He understood that Jesus would resurrect and come into a kingdom. And what did Jesus say back? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. There was no portion there where there was suffering in hell for Christ. Today you will be with me in paradise. At the moment of death, both the Lord and the thief that repented were in paradise. And then Ephesians 4, he led captivity captive. He took the righteous out of Sheol into heaven because the payment was done. It was finished. And any one of you that want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can experience that same salvation. That's pretty much the summary of what I was getting into in regards to the commentary on the sermon clip and the debriefing of Resurrection Weekend. Now I want to get into the study of Revelation 4, because we're going to go through the entire book, God willing. And we've covered chapters 1 through 3, which dealt with Jesus addressing the church, specifically the seven churches in Asia Minor at the time of the late first century. But in general, each one of these addresses to each one of these seven churches can apply to any church that existed between the first century and today. Right. And now in chapter 4 of Revelation, John the Apostle is taken into heaven, right? And he sees a vision of one on the throne. Revelation 4, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. All right. So everything from Revelation 4 and forward is the hereafter, after. And Revelation was written by the Apostle John approximately 90 AD. It was well after the 70 AD destruction of the temple and the invasion of Jerusalem by Rome, by Titus and Vespasian. So you can't say that Revelation is talking about things that happened during the 70 AD temple destruction. These are hereafter, hereafter approximately 90 AD. Right? So these things are future even to us. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. Again, the rainbow being used here to represent the glory of God and the promise of God that he gave Noah that he would never flood the earth again. The rainbow is not meant to represent faggots and transvestites. The rainbow is God's glory and his promise to us that he would never flood the earth with water again. So there was a rainbow about the throne. Revelation 4, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed with white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So we're told what the burning lamps were. They're the representation of the Holy Spirit. These are the lamps that Jesus spoke of in Revelation 1. Who are the 24 elders? We're not told specifically, but they have crowns. And Paul tells us all throughout the epistles that as believers, after we're born again, by grace through faith, apart from works, that when we do good works through the Holy Spirit, we get crowns. So this represents the 24 elders, believers in Christ. The church and the Old Testament saints together, believers in Christ. That's the 24 elders because they have crowns. Verse 5 talks about the thunderings and the voices and the lamps. Verse 6, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. In Revelation 7, or verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7, gets into a description of these beasts, these living creatures. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was as a flying eagle. And the four beasts, each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Think about that. These four beasts, that's their entire job. Their entire existence, they were created for the purpose of proclaiming God's holiness throughout eternity. What a job. What an occupation. Verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I want to repeat that. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Have you ever thought about why you exist? Why are you allowed to breathe in oxygen? Why are you a conscious being? What's your purpose on this earth? Your purpose is to give glory to the Lord. It was for his glory that you and the animals and the plants and all things in the universe were created for the purpose of giving glory to God. Similarly, these four beasts that we read about, their purpose is to praise the Lord forever and ever. Our purpose is to glorify God. How do you do that? How do you bring glory to the Lord? Well, all of the entire Bible, but specifically, we read in the epistles that you obey God by believing on the one that the Lord sent, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son. And believing on him in faith, that's how you glorify God. That's the only way that you can do works that matter. Your works do not matter. Romans 4 says that your works are as filthy rags, and that no one seeketh after God. There is none righteous, no, not one. No one, nobody even seeks after God. He has to seek you. So your purpose in this earth is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to live your life to glorify God. Is that going to be perfect? Will it look pretty all the time? No, because we're fallen creatures. But that's why you have to put your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, that you believe that Jesus paid for your sin debt and rose again from the dead. And so let's get into these four beasts. What are they and who are they? We can get a pretty good description of them also in Isaiah 6. Now, in Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah sees a vision of the Lord, and he sees creatures very similar to this. So Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. All right, so let's stop right there. These creatures that Isaiah saw above the throne had six wings. This is similar to the four beasts in Revelation 4 that had six wings, all right? Getting on to Isaiah 6, verse 2. With twain covered his face, and with twain covered his feet. Twain just means two. That's a King James version of two. So with two wings, these seraphims were covering their face. And with two wings, they covered their feet. And with the other two wings, he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So these four creatures, these seraphim, are identified with the four living creatures, the beasts in Revelation 4 that cry, Holy, holy, holy. That's their whole job. So these beasts in Revelation 4 are creatures known as the seraphim. In Hebrew, that means the burning ones. They're very bright. They have six wings. They're full of eyes. And their purpose is to glorify the Lord for eternity. Now, this gets into a study of supernatural creatures that the Lord has created to serve him. These are very similar to the cherubim. Okay, the seraphim and the cherubim are very similar. You can find a description of the cherubim in Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10, right? And these are living creatures that have four wings. They bear the throne of God. They have eyes all over themselves. And they lift up the throne and they bring down the throne. They're literally, just picture an ancient king with his throne being carried, with rods going through his throne, right? And four people, one on each corner of the throne, carrying him through the town, okay? And everybody paying homage to the king. That's the picture here of the cherubim bearing the throne of God, with the seraphim above it declaring the glory of God. More on this on the other side of the break.
Mountainside, across the sea into my soul, it reaches into where I cannot hide.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem-like flame. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine. It's where I find myself again.
May the Lord be with you down the road that you must follow. Kyrie Eleison. And we're in a study of Revelation 4 in the last segment of spiritual health and wellness. I hope I haven't left so many people in the dust, but I'm trying to get through this. We're talking about the different orders of created beings, of supernatural beings that the Lord has created to serve him. And we discussed in Revelation 4 the four beasts that praise the Lord, and they were called the seraphim according to Isaiah 6, and we're contrasting them with the cherubim in Ezekiel's chapter 1 and 10, and then you have under them regular angels or messengers. Angelos is the Greek for messenger, and then you have demons and unclean spirits. We'll get into more of a study of this maybe next week. Because we're gonna have to deal with it as we go through Revelation. But I want to get to the call screen. We have Ken in Texas on hold. Ken, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Jeremy. Yeah, just have a different take on the beast. The beast is actually I got to talk fast, so forgive me. The beast is actually a bad translation of living creature, and my understanding is the first one's a lion that's like Leo, or the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. They're the four cardinal points of the zodiac. The second, the calf, is like Taurus. Third beast faces a man, like Aquarius, Reuben. Fourth beast is like a flying eagle, and that's like the tribe of Dan, and what's falsely called Scorpio. So you might want to look into that, because I find that to be quite fascinating, that correlation.
Real quick, let me interject. Yes, and the Lord created these living creatures, and they do represent certain things that man has taken. So, like, I understand what you're saying. You're not giving into the zodiac, but the zodiac is a pagan thing that they've taken God's creation.
No, the Maseroth, in the Old Testament, it's called the Maseroth. Yeah.
All right, we're on the same page. Good.
Yeah, the zodiac is just the vernacular, basically. But the Maseroth is totally different. You know, it starts with Virgo, the Virgin, which is actually about the promised seed, Christ, and it ends with Leo, the Lion, which is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Christ himself.
Yeah, and real quick, what I'm saying is that God, the Father. Yeah, what you're saying and what I'm saying is that God put into the stars the gospel, and man has perverted that into all of the pagan stuff about reading the stars in your future and all that.
Well, yeah, that's what Israel was always getting in so much trouble for, was worshiping the creation instead of the creator. So that's, they made all their own things about the zodiac instead of, using that to reveal Christ. But I hear the music, so I just wanted to get that in. Thanks so much for taking my call, Jeremy. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Ken. Call earlier, man. I enjoy talking to you, bro. What's up with that? What's up with this late call? You guys stay tuned. We'll get some John Statmiller stuff going after this, and William and Jeremy tomorrow night. Stay classy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.